Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look there in just a moment as we continue in this series and we talk about the fruit of faith. Now, in the book of Galatians, the word faith is used in three different contexts. In chapter 1, it talks about the faith, which is the faith once delivered, and that's the gospel. We have been given the gospel, and we are to hold to the gospel, we are to protect the gospel, and we are to proclaim the gospel. There's not many gospels, there's one gospel. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's not many ways to heaven, there's one, and that's through Jesus Christ. That is the faith. But then in chapter 3, it talks about faith for salvation. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we accept Him by faith. No one in this room has ever seen Jesus Christ with the naked eye. No one in this room has ever heard the voice of Jesus Christ audibly. Certainly we sense the speaking in our hearts. But what I'm saying is when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, it is a decision by faith. It's something that we believe that we have not seen. And so the faith, that's the gospel. By faith, that's the ability enabled by the Spirit of God to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But then as we come to Galatians 5, which we've been studying, the fruit of the Spirit, and we come to this word faith means faithfulness in doing our duties as a Christian. So you have the gospel, you have the faith to receive Jesus Christ, and then you have faith or faithfulness in living out the Christian life. And that's really what this series has been about because it coincides with our yearly theme, Alive in Christ. How does our life display Jesus? How do people see Jesus alive in us? That's what we've been talking about. And we've been saying, if people are going to see Jesus in you, you know what they need to see? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today, this idea of faith or faithfulness. Now, we live in a day where faithfulness is in short supply. Think about the corporate world. Is everybody being faithful at work or to their company or whatever? Think about family life. Is everyone being faithful to their spouse or to their family? We live in a day when, quite frankly, faithfulness is in short supply. But as a Christian, as you and I display the fruit of faith, faithfulness should be a part of our life. As you and I are rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit enables you and I to be faithful. Now, Brother Daniel Hopkins stood up here a moment ago, and he led the singing. Daniel has a gift, one of the best pianists I've ever heard in my life. He has a natural gift for hearing music and rhythms and notes and all of that, and playing and leading and singing and all of that. I do not possess that gift. If I led the singing in his design, nobody would come. my music ability is found in the Bible and is the verse that says, make a joyful noise, all right? That's my level of ability right there, all right? And it sounds good in the car, but not in leading people in worship and in music. I don't have that gift and ability. Everybody in here has different gifts and abilities. Everybody here functions slightly differently. Everybody here has an area of strength, maybe differing than those others in the class. But can I tell you something this morning? What we're going to talk about right now, being faithful, that's something everyone in this room can do. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not God gave these people faithfulness, and then God gave these people, you know, sporadic, creative, whatever you would call that in a positive way, right? The non-faithful. No, it doesn't work that way. Faithfulness is not a spiritual gift. It's a decision. Am I going to be faithful or not? And God wants all of us to be faithful, and He will enable us to do so by His Spirit. So how can we display the fruit of faith? How can we be found faithful? Well, number one, let's look at our example, the example in faithfulness. Now, if you had a dream, let's say, of becoming a basketball player in the NBA or playing baseball in the Major League Baseball, the guy signed the $330 million contract this week. You might have seen that and said, I'd like to play baseball, you know, whatever. I don't know what you'd like to do, all right? Let's say you've got a dream to do something, okay? And you may have some talent, you may have some ability, you may have some experience in that. But no doubt as you were trying to get to the very top of that industry, business, sports, whatever the case may be. You would find some people at the top and you would begin to emulate. What are they doing? How are they practicing? What are their disciplines? What are best practices that are in place? And you would begin to do those things so that you could achieve the level that you so desire. Well, if we have a desire to dream as a Christian to be found faithful, then we want an example. And there is no greater example than God Himself. He is the ultimate and perfect example of faithfulness in every manner of life. If we're interested in being faithful, God is faithful, and we want to follow His example, and we want to follow Him. And so God is the example, and He is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." And class, can I encourage you this morning? We serve a faithful God. You say, "Gabe, I don't know if where I work is going to be faithful to me. And I don't even know if my family is going to be faithful to me. And I don't know if our neighbors are faithful to us. And I don't know, you know, I don't even know who's faithful anymore. And I may not either, but can I encourage you? God is. God is faithful. He is faithful that promised, and He will be there for you." One day the deacons and some of the longtime church members of a particular church approached their pastor who was aging, and they began to really get after him for the lack of growth in the church. In fact, they began to kind of threaten him with whether or not he would even stay as the pastor of the church, and they cited that over the last year they had only one new member, and it was a small little boy. The pastor left the meeting feeling so dejected and really had a heart to resign as he was hearing these people and their accusations of the lack of church. But he knew within himself that he had done all that he could, that he had been faithful, that he had done his best. As he came to the next service, that small boy came up to the pastor, the one who had become a member, and he asked the pastor if one day he could become a preacher. The pastor was so encouraged by this boy and his desire to serve the Lord that he just decided he was going to invest his life in this one boy and do what he could to mentor him and to encourage him and develop him and see what God might do. Well, years later, a veteran missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was well known throughout the region. All the nobles asked for his presence. Everywhere he went, people flocked to see him and to be around him. His name was Robert Moffat. He was a missionary in Africa, and he brought many lost souls to Jesus Christ. Some of the most savage village chiefs and wicked people came to know the Lord as a result of his ministry. And this man, Robert Moffat, was that boy that elderly pastor said, "I may not be able to reach everybody, but I'm going to invest my life in this one boy." And God decided to bless the faithfulness of that pastor. God allowed Robert Moffat to have an incredible and fruitful ministry. And it was Robert Moffat's oldest daughter, Mary, who became the wife of the famed missionary David Livingston. Now, all of this has a ripple effect from one man who said, "I may not have success in the eyes of the church, but I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to do what I can with what I have." And God blessed his faithfulness. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7:9 in your notes, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. God is faithful. God's not missing a thing, and God knows right where you're at. And God is even faithful in times of temptation. When you and I are faced with a difficult time and tempted to tuck tail and run or to displease the Lord, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." God's never going to try us beyond what we can handle with Him. He indeed is faithful. And during times of distress, God is faithful. God is there with care. God will meet our needs. During times of temptation, God is right there by our side. In fact, at all times, God is there. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So who's our example? God. And what do we see in God? The fact that God indeed is faithful. In fact, even when we fall short and we sin and we disappoint the Lord and we feel like, how can I go forward? We can be encouraged by 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what are we learning this morning, class? We're learning that God is faithful, and we're learning that there's not one single reason that we can find to not be in close relationship with the Lord. Because He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. When we are tempted, He is there. When we goof and we mess up and we sin and we do wrong, if we will come to God and confess, He is faithful, the Bible says, to forgive. So God is always faithful. And what an example of faithfulness at every turn the Lord provides. But we see, letter B, that God's Word is faithful. And because God is faithful, His Word is also faithful. And cultures change and people change and circumstances change. But we have the eternal Word of God from Him to us. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And when you and I see the faithfulness of God, when you and I hold the faithfulness of God in His very Word, it helps you and I to be faithful. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself." Listen, we're going to waver. We're going to struggle with faith and faithfulness from time to time. But God and His Word will always be faithful. Sometimes we are tempted to stray from faith or faithfulness when we don't feel like God is responding. We prayed, but nothing yet. We asked, but where is God? We've been talking to Him, but still there's this pain. I can't imagine what Jesse is going through right now. Sitting in a hospital room, and there's your husband of 7 years fighting for his life. And no doubt, for the last 6 months, every day the prayer has been prayed, "God, would You please miraculously heal my husband?" We serve a God who can, do we not? I believe we do. And yet, for whatever reason, up to this moment, that's not what's happened. And yet I can tell you, being by her side yesterday, I was in awe of her faith. Because she believes that God can heal her husband. But can I tell you something greater than that? She has already made the commitment to be faithful to God no matter what. Now, I don't understand that. That's pretty incredible faith. You know what that comes from? That comes from a daily relationship with a faithful God. It's knowing God and His Word. And it's understanding that God is always faithful. And there will be things in my life that I don't understand. There will be things in my life that I don't like. There will be things in my life that I want changed. But even if I don't see God at work in this very moment, I know I can trust Him, because indeed He is faithful. And God's delays are not God's denials. We can trust the fact that He is always working on our behalf. He is our example of faithfulness and the gift we find in His Word. But then notice, secondly, this morning in our study, the exhortation to be faithful. So we have this example. We have His Word. We can trust Him. But then it goes beyond that, where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God wants you and I to be faithful. No matter what, He wants us to be true to Him and to His Word. If you've ever been to Yellowstone National Park — our family went a few summers ago on family vacation — one of the top destinations inside of that park is Old Faithful. You know what Old Faithful is? Everybody stands around this little mound, and if I recall correctly, there's like a little wooden fence everybody's standing behind, and you wait. And it's, depending on the day, it's, you know, every few minutes or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, this scalding hot water shoots out of the ground, some 50 feet in the air, and it lasts for a few minutes, and then it's over. And everybody goes on to the next thing. And then, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, whenever it's time to go again, everybody gathers and they watch it again. And year after year, day after day, people will come and they will watch this spectacle, the Old Faithful and the Yellowstone National Park. Now, why has that become such a tourist attraction? I mean, it's water shooting out of the ground in the air. It's cool, but it's just water shooting out of the ground in the air. what's cool about it is the fact that it's so predictable. I mean, when you come into the park, there's signs everywhere. This is the schedule for today. And I mean, within seconds, they've got it right. This is when it's going to go off, and you're going to get to watch it. It's an amazing thing. In fact, named Old Faithful. When people think about you and people think about me, do they think about us being faithful? You see, one of the universal requirements for Christians is faithfulness. God desires for you and I to be faithful. Are we faithful? Are we following the example of the Lord? Now, where should we be faithful? Four simple areas as we close. Letter A. We should be faithful in our workplace. The Bible says in Colossians, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." A Christian who is filled with the Spirit of God should exhibit a faithful work ethic. I've taught in His design from day one. Christians ought to be the best employees in any business. Why? Because we're not working like everybody else. We're working unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Your work should make a way for you. People should see your work ethic and your spirit and your positivity and your loyalty and say, man, what makes that person tick? It's Jesus in them. They're faithful in their workplace. And oftentimes, as people look at our lives, if we can't be found faithful in the 40, 50 hours we're working at work each week, how are people going to find us faithful in other areas? Or where will we get an opportunity to be an example to them? So we want to be faithful in our workplace. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart." Watch this. "As unto Christ." Class, here's my challenge. As you go to work tomorrow, do it as unto Christ. Don't measure your productivity by the person to your right or your left. Do it as unto Christ. May what you do in the work environment be done as unto Christ. Faithful in the workplace. Let it be faithful to your family. Hebrews 5, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." A spirit-filled Christian will be faithful to their spouse, faithful to their family. Family dynamic can have challenges. There can be unexpected situations that arise. There can be difficulties. There can be things you wish were different. That's true, I suppose, of any relationship in any home. But here's the question this morning. Will we be faithful? Faithful to our family. Are we following the example of the Lord in our home? Are we fulfilling that role as husband or wife as unto Christ? Are we being that father and mother as unto Christ? Are we faithful in the home environment? And there's going to be days where it feels like we're just treading water. We're just trying to keep up, right? Christopher Columbus in his journal wrote many days, "Today we sailed on. Today we sailed on." That's what we did. We just kept sailing. And sometimes in the life of family, it might be today we sailed on. We didn't necessarily have a mountaintop experience. We didn't necessarily have a great victory, but we haven't quit. We're in it. We sailed on. We're faithful to the family that God has given to us. Let us see, we want to be faithful in our stewardship. We want to be faithful in our stewardship. The Bible says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Our faithfulness in our stewardship is often our barometer of how faithful we are in spiritual things. God has entrusted many things to all of us. Are we faithful to him? Are we faithful in our stewardship? Are we honoring him in our giving? Are we right on track in the commitments that he has led us to make? Are we undoing in a season of doubt what he led us to in faith? May we never undo in doubt what God has led us to do in faith. We want to be faithful in our stewardship as unto the Lord. And then letter D, and this is so practical, but faithful in your church attendance. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I was just teaching our core new members class, and we were talking about how does Lancaster Baptist Church function? What's the structure of it? We talked about that. And then we talked about what is it like to be in the body life of the church. And we talked about the fact that in any family context, there's commitment, right? Suzanne and I will celebrate 18 years of marriage in a few months in June. And God's blessed us with four awesome kids. And we love our family. Our family is not perfect for lots of obvious reasons. But for that family to function as it should, there's a level of commitment that's required. Suzanne and I are not going to have a great marriage if we refuse to commit. How weird would that be, right? Honey, are you coming home tonight? I don't know. I'm not sure. Are you going to be paying the bills this month? I don't know. I haven't decided yet, you know. I mean, that wouldn't work, right? She'd change the locks and, you know, kick me out as a bum and find someone else probably, but it wouldn't work if we were trying to have this great relationship and there was no commitment involved. For the relationship to be all that it should be, it requires commitment. I'm committed to her. She's committed to me. We're committed to our children. They're committed to us. This bedrock of commitment and trust is what forms the foundation necessary for a thriving relationship. Well, so it is in any context, in any relationship in life. We were teaching our new members this morning that if you want your relationship with the church to be all that God wants it to be, it's going to require a commitment. Now, here's what's interesting. If you talk about a commitment to a fitness gym, nobody minds that. If you talk about a commitment you have to make, I just reached for my pen and remember I gave it to a lady in the core class and she stole it, but that's okay. If you make a, she's up there taking notes with Pastor right now, I'll get it later. If you make a commitment to a credit card or something, nobody thinks anything about that. But when you start talking about commitment to church, or, you know, to stewardship or something, everybody gets really nervous, you know, like, what is this going to mean, you know, or whatever. Listen, if you want to get everything out of our time together that God wants you to, you're going to have to make a commitment. And here's a really basic commitment. Show up. When we gather together, you're here. We don't have to send out, you know, reconnaissance from the FBI to figure out where you are and what's going on and how we can encourage you, whatever. Just that when we gather together, barring the fact that you're on your deathbed or, you know, out of town or whatever, you're here. Amen. And we gather together and we open the Word of God and we worship and we enjoy donuts and we learn and we talk about it in our groups, but we are here. We've made the commitment. I'm going to be there when we gather together because I want to grow. And the Bible says, when the called out assembly believers gather, you don't want to forsake that gathering. You want to be there. And when we make God first and seek His kingdom first, all these things shall be added to us. God blesses that. And so God is our example of faithfulness. And God desires for you and I to be faithful in our workplace, in our home, in our stewardship, in our role at the church, and many other areas we can mention as well. But let's consider, will we reflect Christ and our faithfulness this week? In every walk of life, will we be found faithful?